We were talking before we sat down for our meal, and I made the observation that each day goes by, more and more people are wanting to understand the practical implications of the climate change response and how we'll be dealing with an emissions trading scheme. And it's no surprise that CETA should be at the forefront of that, trying to answer those questions, because at the end of the day it is a fundamental change in the economic structure of our society, our community, and will have a far greater impact than a number of earlier changes to our economic base here in Australia. More impact than the introduction of the GST, more introduction than the reduction of tariffs and the freeing up of the banking sector. So it is an important issue, and I'm not surprised that there are so many people who are now wanting to become actively involved in it. And we see that climate change and global warming make news every day, not only in Australia but all around the world. No one likes to read or hear reports about melting glaciers or crop failures or the increased cost of food or indeed energy. But that's the potential that we face. It's the reality. So 8 years ago, the Victorian government stated that there was no escaping from these facts and that all areas of industry, government and the broader community would need to do their bit to cut greenhouse gas emissions. We also said that how the world responds to this issue would affect future generations, as well, of course, as our future environment. And there's been much debate since then over what the global response should be. Debate around the pace of change, debate around different actions and reactions and the future impact on our economy and through that on our way of life for each and every citizen here. Today I'd like to take this opportunity that CETA's provided to outline firstly how the Victorian government has moved this debate around energy policy and climate change theory to a new level. And I'd also like to take the opportunity to outline the practical steps that we'll be taking on the ground and indeed under the ground to reduce greenhouse gas emissions as we move towards that carbon constrained future. I understand the scale and indeed the complexity of the task ahead. We need to be able to answer questions like, how do we provide energy to drive the engines of business? How do we ensure that there is enough energy for communities to grow and to prosper? How do we create and use energy in a sustainable way that protects the environment? In essence, how can the government maintain a secure, efficient, affordable and sustainable supply of energy? The big question is, what is the answer? So, the answer clearly is by developing and delivering a comprehensive climate change package that centres around 1, low emissions technology, 2, renewable energy, 3, energy efficiency, and 4, a national emissions trading scheme. In Victoria, we've achieved an enormous amount of work within the energy and resources sector in trying to address these issues. And quite frankly, I'm personally very proud of the government's record in providing affordable and secure and reliable supply of electricity whilst working to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and deliver clean energy solutions. Since 1999, we've made significant long-term investments in new and innovative clean energy technologies. We've driven research and development, and we're really interested in now deploying those technologies. And we've also promoted renewable energies and cleaner fossil fuels. We've actively helped Victorians to reduce their energy use, particularly in the home and in the workplace. We've also worked hard to position Victoria as a leading investment opportunity for companies and countries who share our view of the importance of clean coal technologies. In 2006, we set a target to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions across the economy by 60% of 2000 levels by the year 2050. And energy will have to shoulder the large portion of that abatement task. The newly elected Commonwealth Government has since committed to a similar level at the national level and has announced the introduction of a national emissions trading scheme in 2010, which will set emission caps and place a price on carbon. Implementing an effective ETS, emissions trading scheme, is a key component in addressing climate change. However, there are two issues that will be particularly crucial for Victoria. The first of these is the need for a practical, balanced and stable transition period to this new carbon-constrained environment. And the second is the need to maintain and strengthen the confidence of international investors to invest in abatement technologies. Victoria's energy system will be transformed by the introduction of emissions trading. There's no doubt about that. Our energy operators will operate very differently, both commercially and technically, and the energy mix and technology will also change greatly. The transition to this new world will be a huge challenge for our existing generators, including their owners, their bankers, their managers and staff. Our government will be looking to those generators to make this transition as smooth as possible. We'll also be relying on them to contribute to the abatement task with commitment. Victoria will need to also attract new investors and more finance to build low emission energy sources. And it's critical that the design of the emissions trading scheme, its emissions caps and its systems for allocating permits provide the confidence and stability that will be needed to retain our current investors as well as to attract new ones. The Victorian Government is developing its views on the design of an emissions trading scheme that will drive emissions cuts while maintaining a secure and affordable power supply. In essence, whilst achieving those abatement cuts, we'd like to see the lights kept on. And in the lead up to this, what Victoria can and is doing is to apply our considerable skills and creativity and expertise, making coal a cleaner fuel, and in doing so, provide practical assistance and leadership in driving the development of a technology that will be even more essential in this new context. Victoria is part of a highly competitive and rapidly changing global environment. As technology continues to advance, particularly in the energy sector, the world will continue to change and new challenges and new opportunities will emerge. And over the years, our government has worked very hard to position Victoria as an innovation economy. Why, you might ask? Well, we've done this because innovation increases our ability to compete with the rest of the world. It helps also attract international interest and investment. It drives sustainable economic development. It generates demand for high-quality, well-paid jobs. And innovation is also the cornerstone to developing our major natural resource here in Victoria, brown coal. Victoria accounts for 22% Victoria accounts for 22% of Australia's greenhouse gas emissions, and approximately 52% of these arise from the use of brown coal for electricity generation. Brown coal resources in the Latrobe Valley have provided most of the fuel for Victoria's electricity generation industry since the 1920s. This unique natural heritage transformed our agricultural-based economy and catapulted our state into Australia's leading industrial and manufacturing base. Today, Victoria relies on brown coal for more than 90% of our electricity needs. And we still have vast resources of brown coal. 33 billion tonnes of readily accessible coal, enough for 500 years at its current rate of use. For many years, these abundant reserves have provided a low-cost and readily available energy source that underpins the competitiveness of the Victorian economy. And in the future, our brown coal resources will continue to play a significant role in delivering baseload power and meeting the increasing demand for energy as our economy and population expands. The biggest challenge we face is in this context, and that is to make our essential energy production cleaner, to make it more sustainable. That's our challenge. And it's a big challenge, because not only do we depend upon brown coal, but as you know, it has a very high moisture content. This means that it produces high level of greenhouse gases when it's used to produce electricity. We have no intention of basing Victoria's future growth prospects on coal-based energy system that continues to emit high levels of carbon dioxide, however. Our reliance on brown coal makes our efforts to explore, develop and commercialise clean coal technologies so urgent, so important for our state. But whatever we do with our brown coal, whether we turn it into electricity or whether we use it to produce diesel or fertilisers, we need to do so with near zero emissions framework. Victoria's energy future lies in both clean coal energy and renewable sources. And that's why the government established our Energy Technology Innovation Strategy in 2005. The technologies developed under ETIS, that's our Energy Technology Innovation Strategy, are important because they'll help us to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and they'll also help us to reduce the impact of the cost of carbon on the Victorian economy. ETIS is driving the development of low-cost energy technologies. They're doing that across brown coal, renewable and energy efficiency technologies in the stationary and non-stationary energy sectors. Through ETIS, our government is investing in technologies that that industry wants us to invest in. And ultimately, it's industry itself which will drive the development and the deployment of new technologies and new systems that meet the needs of tomorrow's energy future. And that's where many of the key decision makers are heading, and I suppose that's why there's so many people here today, and that's why we've all got a role to play in making that happen. As of today, the government has committed almost $370 million to energy technology and innovation by working with industry and researchers to drive advances across a whole range of new low-emission technology. Through the first round of our ETIS funding, we invested more than $180 million. This funding has since leveraged more than $1.6 billion from leading companies and agencies within the power industry, as well as the Commonwealth Government. In respect to the development of clean coal technologies under ETIS, our government has already provided $30 million to International Power Hazelwood for a $369 million coal drying and combustion technology project using Australian and German technology in the Latrobe Valley. We've also provided $50 million through ETIS towards a large-scale demonstration power plant using world-first clean coal technologies that were actually developed here in Victoria, the HRL project. This is a 400-megawatt plant that will trial a high-efficiency integrated drying gasification technology, which is both low-cost and, importantly, low-emissions. The project has attracted $500 million from China as a result of a joint venture between Chinese power equipment manufacturer Harbin and the Victorian technology company HRL. It's also attracted $100 million from the Commonwealth Government. Last month I visited China to discuss the progress and benefits of this significant project. I'm very heartened to say that the level of interest in some of these and other clean energy technologies that we're supporting through ETIS was very elevated. There's a high level of interest in China in what we are doing. Some of the other things that we're already doing under our ETIS program is to provide $12 million in grants for brown coal research and development, including two major projects involving the development of carbon capture and storage technologies. We've provided, in addition to that, $6 million for the Otway Geosequestration Project, an innovative world-leading project that's underway in Naranda down in the southwest of Victoria to demonstrate that carbon capture and storage is a technically and environmentally safe way to make deep cuts into Australia's greenhouse gas emissions. And the project is underway, and it's being conducted by the Cooperative Research Centre for Greenhouse Gas Technologies. I visited there last month with Martin Ferguson to commence the injection of carbon dioxide into the underground storage basin. The Otway project is Australia's first operational carbon dioxide demonstration project and puts the international spotlight fairly and squarely on Victoria's climate change research. This project involves injecting 100,000 tonnes of carbon dioxide deep underground, and also involves, of course, the development of a comprehensive monitoring and testing system to scientifically confirm, the effectiveness of storage. And it provides us, as an interested community, not just the government and the scientists, but all of us here in the room, it'll provide us with hard evidence as to what happens when we mimic nature's natural storage, where these underground reservoirs have held volatile liquids safely for millions of years. It'll also ensure our brown coal resources can be developed in a clean and sustainable manner. These major energy projects are part of our government's plan to drive down greenhouse gas emissions. But what has been missing until now is pre-commercial, large-scale, integrated demonstration of carbon capture and storage. Technologies for capture, for compression, and long-term storage of carbon dioxide have been demonstrated at varying scales in places around the world. The technology, for example, for carbon dioxide transport is mature, and it has a low level of technology risk associated with it. Pipelines are commonly used to transport carbon dioxide, natural gas and other more hazardous liquids and gases, and they've been in use safely for many years in this country and throughout the world. Now, while oil companies already capture and inject carbon dioxide into underground reservoirs to maximise oil extraction, there's still a lot of work to be undertaken. We need to look at, in particular, how to improve the efficiency of capture technologies. We also need to understand the capacity and the potential for storage sites in the Gippsland Basin in Bass Strait. But it's clear to me and clear to the government that clean coal technology is crucial to the future of Victoria. And that's why last month the Premier, John Brumby, and I went to the Latrobe Valley to announce one of the largest investments in clean coal in this state's history to support the demonstration of a carbon capture and storage technology project. And under the next phase of our ETIS funding, we will create a new $110 million fund to establish a new large-scale pre-commercial carbon capture and storage demonstration project. We will also invest just over $12 million to establish the Clean Coal Victoria, a new arm of government, establish it in the Latrobe Valley. It'll be an organisation dedicated to maximising the value of Victoria's brown coal resources. Further, $5 million has been provided, and that will go towards investigating carbon capture and storage sites in the Gippsland Basin to better understand carbon storage potential through research and modelling of the region's geology. And $3.6 million has also been provided towards the Cooperative Research Centre for Greenhouse Gas Technologies to extend our membership of this CRC for another seven-year term, on the condition that it's also able to get the Commonwealth on board and industry funding as well, just as it has during its first seven-year term. In addition to these major coal investments, these clean coal investments, the development of the sustainable energy technology is also at the forefront of ETIS. We are, for example, providing $10 million to support sustainable energy research and development, including renewable energy, energy efficiency, clean distributed generation, and groundbreaking research into affordable organic solar cells. We are also investing $50 million with Solar Systems Generation. This is a company that will build the world's largest and most efficient solar power station, that will be located in the northwest of Victoria. And when completed, this solar power plant will generate 154 megawatts of energy, and it will provide enough zero emissions electricity to light up a city the size of Geelong. Once again, this technology has been developed here in Victoria and is considered internationally as a world leader in its class. To further boost our work and investment in this important area, the Victorian Government recently announced an additional $72 million towards a pre-commercial large-scale sustainable energy program. We'll be seeking proposals for large-scale energy technologies such as solar or energy storage, biofuels, biomass conversion, geothermal energy efficiency, and clean distributed energy. And this, together with our clean coal development, will position Victoria as a world leader in the fight against climate change. And this is paying off internationally because our innovative approach to new energy technologies is attracting international attention. As I mentioned earlier, we're forging strong relationships with countries like China. And in February this year, I also met with Ira Magaziner, the chairman of the Clinton Foundation's Climate Initiative. The Clinton Foundation is a global non-government organisation established by the former President of the United States, Bill Clinton, and it's got access to over $5 billion in finance from partner global financing institutions. The foundation uses this immense purchasing power to drive down the cost of energy efficient technologies and to assist innovative states to realise world-leading clean coal energy initiatives. The Clinton Climate Initiative is particularly interested in large-scale technology demonstrations, whether they're of solar, geothermal energy, and they're also particularly interested in carbon capture and storage. They've scanned the world looking for the best locations to undertake large-scale demonstrations to bring these forward quickly and make them available for the market. They are closely watching what we are doing here in Victoria, in the Latrobe Valley and elsewhere, and they're particularly keen and interested in what we're doing with carbon capture and storage. I spoke in detail with Mr. Magaziner about our clean energy steps that we're taking here in Victoria, and earlier this month the Victorian Government signed a landmark memorandum of understanding with the Clinton Climate Initiative to explore and adopt large-scale clean energy projects and new vehicle technologies. Talking of this kind of tangible and measurable action is really important. It's important because we know that early action and incentives to develop and deploy clean energy technologies will produce the lowest cost impact on our economy over time. In July 2006, Victoria became the first Australian state to announce its own mandatory renewable energy target and supporting scheme when the previous federal government failed to expand the mandatory renewable energy target, or MRET. Following the new federal government's expansion of MRET, our government is now looking at how we can transition the Victorian scheme into a national framework. The Victorian scheme, VRET, came into effect on the 1st of January 2007 and requires that 10% of electricity consumption to be sourced from renewable energy by 2016. The mandatory target will reduce our reliance on coal-fired power stations, will save some 27 million tonnes of greenhouse gases. That's the equivalent of removing every car off Victoria's roads for 2 years. Within a few months of VRET being announced, there was the new solar, wind and hydro projects announced in Victoria, totalling over $2 billion of investments and some 2,000 jobs. And one of those projects was the ETA Solar Systems Generation Project, the solar power station that I mentioned that's going to be built in northwest Victoria. These are major initiatives: a national emissions trading scheme, our ETIS program and VRET are all critical to Victoria's plan to tackle climate change. But cutting energy consumption is also important. In December last year, the Brumby government announced its VEET scheme, our Victorian Energy Efficiency Target, and it was passed through the Victorian Parliament. The first phase of VEET will commence in January next year, and it's expected to save just over 8 million tonnes of greenhouse gases, the equivalent of making some 675,000 households carbon neutral for a year. And under this scheme, electricity and gas retailers will provide incentives to Victorian households who make energy efficiency improvements, such as installing energy efficient lighting and appliances, and also installing ceiling insulation. These actions will either be free to customers or at very low costs, and will cut the average participating household power bill by $45 a year. And of course, it's being introduced in advance of the impact of the emissions trading scheme. We're trying to get our households ready for ETS. In addition, the Victorian energy consumers will also soon see the arrival of a new smart meter in their homes, which will help customers better manage their energy use. And last week I also announced that for the first time, Victorian households installing solar power systems and providing excess electricity into the national electricity grid will be paid a premium feed-in tariff. The new premium feed-in tariff scheme, paying 60 cents for every unused kilowatt hour of power fed back into the electricity grid, which is almost four times the current retail rate for electricity and will be the highest feed-in tariff offered in Australia. It's also worth noting that our government is doing its own bit as an energy consumer. We've met our commitment to purchase 10% of our electricity as green power, and we plan to increase this to 25% by the year 2010. And to that end, the grand old Parliament House will be run solely by green power in the future. So in conclusion, I think we've demonstrated that there's a lot happening and a lot more to do. I'd like to thank CEDA for hosting today's Energy Series luncheon. The Victorian Government is committed to collaborating, sharing our experience and promoting the benefits of joint research and development with our energy partners. We believe that Victoria is now at the forefront in cutting greenhouse gas emissions. And I've always said, many of you have heard me say this before, but, and I guess you'll hear me say it many times to come, but there's no silver bullet when it comes to tackling climate change. And that's why we're tackling it on a broad portfolio approach, a silver buckshot approach, if you like. And that's why we'll keep securing new investments to drive a more sustainable environment and to promote innovation and to provide growth in our jobs. And it's why we'll keep positioning Victoria to become a global leader in carbon capture and storage technologies and practices, while we'll position Victoria to take up the near zero emissions research, and while we'll undertake commercial scale demonstrations here in Victoria. It's also why we'll keep developing the policy framework to maintain a secure, efficient, affordable and sustainable energy supply of Victoria, and that's why we want to take all of you along for the ride. Thank you very much.